Space Vorilex, Finding Kimigo. Listen to audio extracts from this exciting companion to 2B Acting Selective Interactive Video Production, now showing on InView. If you enjoy adventures, conspiracy theories, and a gripping story, then this podcast is for you. Updated every 2 weeks. This extract from the Space Vorilex, Finding Kimigo book is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, incidents and dialogues are products of the artist's imagination and should not be considered in any way as facts. Any resemblance to life or people, living or dead, events or theories is entirely coincidental. Visit 2bacting.com for information about the Space Vorilex Selective Interactive Video and how to obtain a copy of the book. Extract summary: the main character, Misha, is poised to take a drastic step that will end her life as she knows it. However, before she does, she documents the events that has led to her decision. Her story starts where she is called to the hospital after her girlfriend, Kimigo, unexpectedly falls into a coma. After a day of surreal happenings, a stranger, looking identical to her girlfriend, enters her life. However, Misha's distrust of the stranger leads her, and her friend Christina, down a dangerous path. In this podcast, chased by unknown assailants, Misha, and her friend Christina, must rely on the stranger to save their lives. Chapter 3, Part 1, Escape.
Blood drips from a cut on Christina's knee. An injury, no doubt sustained, having to duck out of the way of the bullet. Thankfully, we could find no other wounds. Sitting in the back of the stranger's car, I hold her trembling body, as we try to make sense of what just happened. Tony shot at Christina. Why did Tony do that? Tony was not in control of his body. What? The stranger's answer is again not an answer. How can Tony not be in control of his body? Your friend has been targeted for termination. They will use any means possible to eliminate her. According to our driver, they, and we still have no idea who they are, found Tony's mobile when they traced the booking Christina made. With the connection they knew about his weapon in his vehicle from listening to our conversation before we arrived at the university. Sending resonant sound vibrations through the phone speakers, they placed Tony in a hypnotic trance. He had to obey their command. It is a crazy explanation. This is a dangerous world if a phone can be used to turn people into killers. The remote listening to conversations I can believe from the number of times the voice recognition helper on my phone attempts to answer a question it was not asked when I'm just having a conversation. However, hypnotizing sound waves is a little far-fetched. As the car rounds a sharp bend, sliding us across the back seat, my phone rings. Sadly, I have to let go of the still-shaking Christina to answer. At the other end of the call, Colin is frantic. Standing at the security gate, he heard the gunshot. By the time he ran to the road, he saw a man on the ground and us getting into a car. He thought we were being kidnapped. Before he can say any more, the phone is pulled from my hand by the stranger, crushed like the others she destroyed earlier, then thrown out of the open driver's side window. Great, now he really will believe we've been kidnapped. What did you do that for? You should not have had that phone. Phones can be traced. I get it. But I needed it. Kimigo may wake at any time. You must trust me to keep you safe. My safety is secondary when it comes to Kimigo. Her doctor needs to know what happened, why she is in this coma. The missing 3 hours spent with her professor may have the answer. I have to talk with him. I have to do something. This is all too crazy. Look at your face. You look just like her. Not telling me anything is driving me mad. Talk to me. It's not fair. You are not her. I want her, not you. Visibly, I'm shaking with frustration. It seems to remind Christina that being shot at is just one thing among today's madness. Putting her arms around my shoulder, it is her turn to lend comfort with reassurance that Kimigo will recover. Is the professor why you left my protection? She needs to talk to him, but now you've thrown away her phone, that's not going to happen. The professor that works with your Kimigo. Professor Vorilex. Yes, do you know him? I am taking you to him. What? You know where he is? There is no reply, only a slight acceleration of the car. Has she just said that to gain our trust? Prevent us from running away again. She knew his name. Maybe she's not lying. A whispered discussion takes place with Christina, in an attempt to make sense of the day's events. As we run through the madness without warning, the stranger jams on the brakes, throwing us forward. We hit the front seats hard. This is followed by a rapid turn left, taking us down a side road. Her actions, she said, was to avoid the two police cars on the lookout for our car number plate. There is a police bulletin out for a suspected kidnapper. How do you know that? I am listening to the police communication channels. I am also logged into their dispatch computers, which has the location of their vehicles. Does she have a Bluetooth earpiece? How else can she be driving and listening? The radio is not on. What do you mean logged on? You're driving. Your questions will be answered when we reach our destination. Now please put on your seat belts. The jostling around in the back of the car increases, causing us to do as we are told, buckling our belts in haste. You should have let me finish the call with Colin. The mistake you made was answering the call, not how it ended. They obviously had time to connect, listen to your conversation about kidnapping, and used this to let the police apprehend us. Suddenly, flashing blue lights flood through the rear view window. A police car is right on our tail. Its front beam lights flash for us to pull over. Just stop. We can explain that we are not being kidnapped. That is not an official police car. Unexpected, the chasing police car accelerates, ramming into us, causing the stranger to almost lose control. Out of the windscreen, ahead, another marked police vehicle is seen, coming towards us, at speed, with, as it seems, no intention of stopping. Without hesitation, the stranger takes a right turn, smashing through a chained fence. Our car shakes as it crosses the very rough terrain of what looks like an abandoned cement factory. Sadly, the maneuver hasn't prevented the police cars from following. It has, however, put a little distance between us. Large chippings mixed with cement dust spiral into the air on contact with the tires. The noise sounds like the car is being hit with 1,000 machine gun bullets. We are blinded by the white powder. Instead of slowing, our driver speeds up. Through a small break in the dust smog, out of the windscreen, I see the ground ahead fall away. We head towards a very large excavated crater. What are you doing? I sense that their vehicles are constructed from matter, therefore they do not have gravity adjusters. That said, the pit of my stomach falls away. At the same time, Christina lets out an ear-splitting scream. A loud bump, then silence as the wheels of the car leave the ground. Disbelief, as we are literally flying across the cement pit crevice, which I would approximate to be a distance of at least a quarter of a mile. Looking out the dirty rear view window, I see the stranger was right. Our pursuing police cars do not have gravity adjusters. The two vehicles, perhaps blinded by the dust, follow us. Falling, they send up large dust clouds as they hit the bottom of the pit. Another heavy bump, like a badly landed airplane, signals that the tires of our car are back on the ground. Without stopping, we drive across the cement, breaking through a fence on the other side. Silence, only the sound of our breathing. The stranger stops the car under a disused railway bridge. We are instructed to get out, which we do without complaint. I look up at the low sun in the sky. Sunset will soon give way to darkness. This has been the longest day of my life. Staring at the stranger, it is obvious from our blank expressions that something must be said to explain all that has happened. Trust me, the danger is real. Those were her only words, as she takes a device from the pouch around her waist. Pointing it at the car, it fires a torch-like beam, bathing it in a yellow glow. Witnessing yet another impossibility, we watch as the car shimmers, goes transparent, then blinks out of existence, like it was never there. For a moment, we see an outline frame of the vanished vehicle, which contracts into a thick DVD-size floating silver disc. Momentarily, it hangs in the air, then falls. Walking over, she picks it up, puts it, and the device, into her pouch bag. We look at her for another explanation. It was a hard light projection. Obviously. Another answer that makes absolutely no sense. All will be explained when you are safe.
That is the end of the extract for this podcast. In the next podcast, another extract from the Space Vorilex, Finding Kimigo book. On the run from unknown assailants, Misha, her friend, Christina, and the stranger are trapped and have to take a leap of faith to escape. Podcast narrated by AI-generated voices, Ryan and Sonia. Note, the extracts may not accurately reflect the words contained in the published book. For more information, visit 2bacting.com or be part of this exciting adventure by playing the Space Vorilex Selective Interactive video, now showing on 2B Acting's InView channel.